gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday, 6 minutes after the hour. GoToMeeting. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Oh, I found a new use for GoToMeeting, didn't I?
Yeah.
Ha ha And it means more work for you.
I know. That doubles my workload.
Oh, it does not. Stop whining. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Good morning, Mrs. Taylor.
Good morning.
What do we owe the pleasure of your company?
Okay, this morning my husband drove off the road and we got a flat, so I'm barely here.
Oh, my God.
He drove off the road. Why? He was distracted by your beauty?
Yes, my big
drunk.
Big jugs. No, we weren't fighting. We weren't drunk. His cell phone went beep, beep, and he just reached into his pocket, and then, woo, we went right off the road and got a flat.
That's really a big puss way to drive off the road.
Well, and you drive like 75 beeped? Miles to work every day.
Yeah.
Because you live in Dubai now.
Yeah, pretty much. Egypt.
All right.
So, yeah, so we couldn't call AAA because we have no cell service because we live on an effing mountain.
Yes.
And so, luckily, my husband is strong and burly, so he fixed the tire.
Yes, he's a lumberjack, I understand.
Yes,
up there
is.
In the North Woods where you live.
Yeah.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
She likes her her men burly and monosyllabic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He grunts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew Craig, that is totally not him at all.
All right. We have a big, big show because Rebecca works her hump off for this show, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell you do. You laze around in Las Vegas poolside most of the time.
Yeah.
The Rude Pundit coming up in less than half an hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America to co-host Right Wing World next hour. And the wildly popular Mondays with McClurg in hour number three. Edie McClurg, who already has a jingle, of course.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Is that from Shano?
Yeah.
Thank you, Shano. She would be delighted.
I think so.
I would like a jingle to commentate, please. All right. What was last week? Jim, you're just so cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just anything McClurgish ends up on a T-shirt. Oh, here's a suggestion, Rebecca. You need to get on this one immediately. Wednesdays with Wiener. Mike says, I'd like to nominate a new segment, Wednesdays with Anthony, the wildly popular Anthony Wiener.
Right, but we all
can we get a Wiener in our hump? We have hump days with Hal.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if Hal would enjoy. I mean, he's not that he's, you know, hasn't played that on TV before, but I'm just saying. We'll have to ask Hal if he'll mind getting a Wiener in his hump day. All right. I'm just asking. All right. So a big, big show. By the way, Photoshop fun up in at StephanieMiller.com. Mm-hmm. Someone has Photoshopped what this will look like around here in a couple of years when more medical devices become involved. There's a picture of me in my cast and my mobility scooter behind me, and then there's several other machines that'll probably be added in the future.
Yeah.
What's that thing? What's the thing you do? It's the thing they put you in entirely to do an
iron lung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend and my friends are getting a kick now out of sending me things that they see in the middle of the night, like a nebulizer. I don't even know what that is. It's something to help you breathe. You know, various different kinds of mobility things.
How about
one
of those egg crackers?
All right.
You know, have you seen that ad? How many morons out there don't know how to crack an egg?
Me.
So that...
I could use that.
You're kidding me.
It might be cast off week though. I don't know.
Oh.
Thursday, I go back to the doctor for the X-ray. We'll see. Could be giving up the mobility scooters.
Oh, no.
Cast off? So then you'll find yourself on an island with a volleyball?
But you know what happened? So yesterday, this is a kind of pathetic story, as most of mine are. I finally left the house, elderly shut-in that I am.
Yeah.
Elderly disabled shut-in. Because a friend busted me out to a movie. First of all, I'm going to save the cast even when it gets off because they treat you really, really well when you're disabled. They were like, why would you like the handicap row? I'd like, I'm like, yes. Yes, I would like the handicap row.
That's yes.
And they just did, they usher you right in. You get to sit in the, it was nice. I think I'm going to bring the cast back for when I, you know, even when it's, I'll just put it on to go to the movies to get special treatment. However, okay, so, you, Rebecca, tell me if you're with me on this. Probably not, because you're not normally on anything, but, yeah. So I went to see Salt.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because my friends talked me into it. I thought, oh, okay, the Angelina Jolie, you know, action, whatever. Mm-hmm. I left after like 10 minutes and then went back to my house. I can't handle violent movies.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
You're squeamish.
I'm a giant puss.
That's a PG-13 movie. It's not
I
even
can't
an
handle
R.
It. I can't. It opens with a scene of her being tortured in a North Korean prison. And
that's the worst part.
And then there's all this graphic violence. And then I know there was something was happened to her husband and I couldn't stay and watch. Oh. I was like, I gotta go. I stayed up all night. It gave me nightmares all night. I only saw 10 minutes of it.
Oh, my God. You're such a puss.
I am a giant puss. I don't like scary, violent movies.
That's
not scary. They upset me. They upset Grandma. It was a waste of Werther's candies.
I don't know how you were in the service, being that you're such a wuss.
Yeah.
How did you handle all those
I don't know. I'll ask Joe Sestak next time he's on how my service went. Yeah, do you like them? Do you like violent, scary movies? I don't get it.
No,
well, not a scary
it's not pleasant
movie.
To me to be scared. And
it's not a scary movie.
It looks more
it's
like suspense. Yeah. Was it like Rambo?
Like
I mean, that was
no,
pretty
No, it's
horrifying.
More like the Jason Bourne movies. You know, the Bourne. Yeah.
Like my friends had to talk me down all the way home. No, I'm sure nothing happened to her husband. No, they end up drinking fruity drinks in Hawaii, and then they get puppies. I'm like, really? What kind of puppies? Oh, okay.
No, something happens to her husband.
Shush. Right. I know. Because I'm like, of course, she goes kick-ass the rest of the movie. What do you think caused that?
But then she's not who she says she is, and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Stephanie,
so I was 10 minutes in, I was already confused by the plot.
Yeah.
It was an okay movie.
You should have gone to see Toy Story 3.
Oh,
that
yeah.
would have been better
That's
for
what
you.
I'm thinking. I'm only going to happy movies from now on. You know me, I'm a happy, clappy liberal. I don't like when bad things happen.
I hear Despicable Me is good, and it's funny.
All right. You know what I did? Actually, I was much happier. Can I have some happy music, please? I went back to look at my lawn. I have a brand new lawn, and it's the I'm spending the rest
you
of my life.
You I had just a had lawn a new, before?
Well, sort of, but see, because it was bad because of the dogs.
Oh.
So I have this new grass. It's like crack for me. It's called St. Augustine's grass, and it's supposed to be much more stronger and dog resistant.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to sit out there in a rocking chair now and a shotgun and some Jack Daniels and just make sure no critters and stuff. I have entered the get the hell off my lawn phase of my... I sit out there and stare at it.
What is dog-resistant lawn? Does the poo, like, fly off?
Yes, it rejects it like a trampoline.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
What's beautiful?
All right, and what else? I have a new printer that I want to marry. Finally.
What is the name, make, and model of it, Stephanie?
Oh, it is an HP LaserJet of 4014. Oh.
Rebecca, write that model number down because you're going to be getting...
No, you know what?
Get this.
No, it's toner. And I don't need more toner for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Does it come with its own ink?
I'd like to see.
It comes with toner, and it lasts 20,000 pages. I'm not kidding.
Goodness.
Rebecca, you know how
I alternated staring at my printer and my lawn this weekend. That's my life.
You're such a loser.
Rebecca, you know how this printer out here, when you change the toner, you tend to get the toner all over you.
Yeah.
I totally want to see that happen to Stephanie.
Oh, that'd be rad.
Oh my God.
No, because I'm going to make you come do it. It's
no,
only
you're
once
not.
A year. It's once a year. All right. Anyway, thank you, HP. As it turns out, I print entirely too much. I know it doesn't seem like there's any preparation for this show. However, there's a lot of pages of things. So I
mostly stuff from delisted.
Exactly. Inkjet, no good for me. No.
Computer says no.
Laser. That's what. We're
doing. Yeah, you've done the show for close to
how many years? How have I lived without a laser printer?
For close to 6 years now.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn, I had to wait till that damn Carly Fiorina was out of there, ran that joint into the ground.
But then get this. She's trying to figure out a way for me to print stories directly to her printer so she doesn't have to do that.
HP told us it is possible.
Well.
It is possible.
Did you see that
Stephanie?
Email from Mark this morning?
No.
He said you have to have a special printer, and this one isn't that.
All right, but my computer guy knows a way. We're putting in the line, the thing. It's think of it as a technological, like we have beer cans and a string from your house to my house.
Here's what it is. I have to connect to her desktop, open her email, and print out her stories on her printer.
Yes.
Computer, that's it.
No, but there's a way that we can do a line right to our houses, and then he can print right from his printer to my, or from his computer to my printer.
How cool could you be so technically inept? Like, seriously.
Why don't you
so
hush?
Lazy. Just print it yourself.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Kyle was, you know what, there's
That's
a lot
what
of...
I wanted to say to her yesterday when she was telling me about this.
And I have the nerve.
Mama's
to.
Busy. I've got lawns to watch.
All right. Yeah, you heard high-tech Hal Sparks. What do you call it? His solution to everything is the iPad. I'm like, are you kidding me? I wouldn't. I can't go paperless. I'd be like, it'd just be me fumbling for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, where was that? Oops. I broke the whole thing. All right. A lot of people just want to write in to tell you how wrong you are. You went in a little libertarian clap-tap frenzy of, oh, secondhand smoke is no worse than the air here in L.A. or something.
Whatever.
Libertarian nonsense. Kyle in Albuquerque. Mama, please tell Chris I have chronic lung damage from secondhand smoke by parents who were smokers and playing music in smoky bars. Not surprisingly, they both died from lung cancer at early ages. Every time I see a new doctor and get my first chest x-ray, they ask, did you or did you not smoke? Thank goodness New Mexico has banned smoking in all businesses. Let's see. Laura writes, Steph, I don't need to see any scientific evidence regarding secondhand smoke. My mom smoked for 45 years and my dad died from lung cancer. Laura in Madison. And finally, Tom in Chicago, Steph in the MOOC. I just wanted to correct one caller from your recent discussion on smoking and secondhand smoke. I'm a big fan of Penn & Teller's show. The title you can't say on the air. You know.
BS.
Yeah. So I know the secondhand smoke episode is the only one they've admitted to being wrong about. They'll tell you that the evidence wasn't in when they recorded it and that better studies have been done since to show that secondhand smoke is harmful, but they know now they were the wrongest wrongs in Wrongville, so your caller was full of that title that you can't say on the radio. Tom and John.
Thank you, Tom.
I didn't necessarily agree with that caller.
All right.
I just think that businesses should be a little freer to make their own decisions.
Oh, really? You mean like if, say, the host wants someone to print their prep so they have more time to... pursue other interests like staring at their lawn, things like that.
Yes, things like that.
Thank you. 19 minutes after the hour. All right, lots to get to, lots going on in the political world. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. The Rude Pundit coming up in just a few minutes to talk about the oil spill, the upcoming midterms, anything else that comes to his filthy mind.
That's right.
Which is indeed filthy and hilarious. All right. Obviously, all the buzz last week was about Anthony Weiner on the House floor. Boy, do we need more of that. Passion and some spine in Democrats. I mean, that's the thing, is you just think, you know, we've gotten used to the politics of pretty much everything that comes down the pike, you know, from the Republicans. But this is 9/11 responders.
Yep.
These are the people that ran into the rubble to help their fellow Americans and got sick. You'd think if not, anything is just kind of sacrosanct and not, but of course they politicized it and tried to block the bill and yada yada. You know, and they always do the same thing. Oh, it's because of amendments and you can't. You're not doing it the right way. Anthony.
Well, what they did was they didn't want illegal immigration to be tacked onto this bill, and so they killed it.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Weiner took exception to that.
Gentleman from New York is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the distinguished gentleman from New York, Mr. Weiner.
Gentleman's recognized.
Great courage until all members have already spoken and then stand up and wrap your arms around procedure. We see it in the United States Senate every single day where members say, we want amendments, we want debate, we want amendment, but we're still a no. And then we stand up and say, oh, if only we had a different process, we'd vote yes. You vote yes if you believe yes. You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order. Gentleman thinks that if he gets up and yells at him, he's going to intimidate people into believing he's right. He is wrong. The gentleman is wrong. The gentleman is providing cover for his colleagues rather than doing the right thing. It's Republicans wrapping their arms around Republicans rather than doing the right thing on behalf of the heroes. It is a shame. A shame. If you believe this is a bad idea to provide health care, then vote no. But don't give me the cowardly view that, oh, if it was a different procedure, the gentleman will observe regular order and sit down. I will not. The gentleman will sit. The gentleman is correct in sitting. I will not.
This is quite obviously not in order.
Gentleman will suspend.
I will not stand here.
Gentleman is recognized.
And listen to my colleagues say, oh, if only I had a different procedure that allows us to stall, and then vote no. Instead of standing up and defending your colleagues and voting no on this humane bill, you should urge them to vote yes, something the gentleman has not done.
All right. Representative Carolyn Maloney, Democrat, also of New York, on the 9/11 response.
So I urge my colleagues to support the heroes, the heroines, the warriors right here at home, the first in the line of fire at ground zero where it all began.
Boy, I'd hate to be the one following Anthony Weiner on the floor, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Reminds me of the night in New York I had to go on after Chris Rock. That was on a comedy club. That was in
New York.
So it was Representative Peter King that he was talking to,
yes.
Anthony Weiner, right?
Yes.
Right-wing tool.
They say they want Republican support, yet they never consulted even one Republican before they made the corporate tax increase as to pay for. They say they want Republican support before they passed this bill, but they never applied that standard when they ran through the stimulus, health care, cap and trade, or financial regulatory reform.
What?
No, you only apply it to cops and firefighters and construction workers. What a sad and pathetic double standard. These heroes deserve better than they are receiving here tonight.
What? What
do you
does
mean
that
they
even
didn't reach
mean?
Out?
It's like, and first of all, what does any of that have to do with the 9/11? It's like you don't like the way they did anything.
Right.
Healthcare stimulus, you're against everything. So, but what does that have to do with this? I mean, it's just like, what? Ay, Representative Peter King again.
What we are doing tonight is a cruel hoax and a charade. Everyone knows that this bill will not get the 2/3 majority required on the suspension calendar. Everyone also knows that this bill would pass with a clear majority if the Democrat leadership would allow it to come to the floor under the regular procedures of the House. The reason H.R. 847 is not being brought up under regular order is that the majority party is petrified of having its members face a potential vote on illegal immigration.
I can see why Anthony Weiner went nuts,
yeah.
You know? It's like, just do it. Kevin Brady, Republican of Texas.
Looking at Texas Task Force One standing at ground zero, going through that rubble and their heroism themselves. And they went there to save survivors, not to raise taxes.
Let's go to Henry in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Henry.
Hello there. It's your official Black Swede. How you doing?
Yay!
Hello, Black Swede.
How you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something, okay? I actually don't blame Republicans. I blame the leadership of the Democratic Party. We are the ones who let the stupid idiots, the Republicans, hold up the progress of this country. Now, the Republicans wrecked this country, okay? So why do we let them lecture us? Now, let me tell you something. I've had it with this country, okay? I've been talking with my wife, okay? And as soon as I'm done with my doctorate, December next year, we are gone. Australia, here we come. Enough with the nonsense and the Democrats.
Don't leave us with the teabaggers. Come on. I need where am I going to find a good Black Swede? Come on, for God's sakes. 29. Fuck up, everybody. 29 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Received dozens of letters from fans wanting to know more about the show. Professor Lawrence Pierce writes, I think
Stephanie Miller
gets stupider every year.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
this one Chardonnay-soaked brain cell after another falls off. 1-800-STEP-12.
That's a heavy brain cell. Good God.
That's where all the good stuff was. Oh, well. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. It's Monday. You know what that means, everybody.
It's Lee Pavitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Hello, Papa, come to Mama. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir. Lots of great stuff this week at therudepundit.blogspot.com.
Thank you.
Particularly, Afghanistan is our welfare state. You talk about the, you know, these WikiLeaks. You say one of the less glamorous aspects of the release by WikiLeaks of the oodles of secret documents related to the sad circle that is the Afghanistan war is the clear demonstration the actual day-to-day existence of Afghans is dependent on the occupiers, or mostly us. The mundane aspects of Afghan existence demonstrate a level of dependency on NATO and the U.S. that it make an opium dealer jealous. That seems to be the toughest quagmire-esque thing, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And there, what this Guardian article shows going into the documents from WikiLeaks is how financially, for every economic decision, political decision, construction decision, that the authority of the United States and NATO takes precedence even over local authorities. So if, say, some local leaders decide on a contractor to build something and the U.S. doesn't want that contractor, the U.S. will overrule that contractor and thus create another enemy.
Mm. Mm. Did you happen to see this week's cover of Time magazine?
Yeah.
Oof.
It's depressing. And
it's a picture of an Afghani woman with her nose missing because, I think she was trying to run away from abusive in-laws and her husband cut her nose and ears off. And, that's honestly, Lee, I've said that from the beginning for me. That's been the, you know, as a woman, not a fan of the Taliban, as a liberal, not a fan of war. And yet, other than Jim Ward's suggestion of airlifting everything with the vagina out, I'm not sure, you know, if there is a perfect moral answer here, right?
Well, and I also go back to before 9/11 when during the Clinton administration, a bunch of us were protesting the treatment of women in Afghanistan, calling for UN intervention in there. And I think that that's what this should be. This should be a United Nations. Now we're into a mission that the United Nations should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're into the kind of humanitarian thing that's not why we started the war. And we've lost, you know, we started the war as ostensibly a hunt for bin Laden, and now it's all about getting rid of the Taliban and rebuilding a government in Afghanistan. You know, we were all behind it. We on the left, we were all rah-rah, let's go get bin Laden. And now nobody told us about the mission creep until it happened.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and you know, like we've been saying, the second part of what Michael Steele said, you know, which is, you know, what you can't say in Republican circles is likely true in terms of the history of Afghanistan.
Right, and I also love now that the Taliban is apparently using weapons that we supplied to the Mujahideen to attack us, which is always just one of the charming aspects of this war, is that, you know, they're fighting it because we armed them.
Yes, we should have stuck with giving them vodka stingers, in my opinion. Now, I always am highly entertained by any of your posts about Ann Coulter. This one, why Ann Coulter is a part fourth, the 139,803. Yes, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
She is sort of the tragic heroine of the far right, isn't she? At this point, she is sort of one of those sad kind of Norma Desmond, I don't know, Blanche DuBois.
I love that. I love the idea of her trying to rally everybody for a monkey funeral.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right. These days, it's almost sad to see and read Ann Coulter. So long the standard bearer of right-wing ignorance expressed with a savagery that's mistaken as wit. Now in the wake of the heights of bug insanity that Glenn Beck reaches every time his spiked-top bloated head of doom appears on TV, Coulter's brand of history. That's a new word I hadn't heard before.
I think I coined it.
Uh-huh.
Let's start a meme. Let's start a hash thing on Twitter with
yes.
that.
Yes! I'll do it right now.
It seems quaint or used up. She's essentially the oldest whore in the brothel. Oh, I don't know. Well, never mind. I guess I could read that next part. I need a lot of bleeps, though. Her and so worn out from use that her is like tossing a roll of pennies down a wishing well. All right. Now
you can read it unbleeped at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
And you say, sure, the occasional regular like Sean Hannity will show up at the joint in order to give her a charity, but mostly. Yeah, that is what it feels like, right? Is that she's been out crazied by the likes of Glenn Beck, and now it just seems sad.
Oh, she's got to just sit there and go, oh, God, I can't cut this skirt any shorter.
I'm not clever. I'm not smart. I can't.
No, and you know, and now she's reaching the age where it's like varicose vein surgery is only going to hide so much.
Go ahead.
No, but the thing that she does in the column is that she starts talking about how violent liberals are. And she's giving all these stupid examples of like minor little incidents that they're blowing up into, you know, the next Weather Underground or something like that. Which again, we should always remind people, the Weather Underground stopped bombing when they hurt people.
Yes.
They actually were trying just to destroy property. But all you got to say to her is Timothy McVeigh. I mean, when we top that on the left, can start telling us about violence.
Right. You know, we're having Eric Bowler coming up. His whole piece this week is about that. It's about the actual examples of actual violence that clearly were caused by people on the right. And this latest Glenn Beck, I don't know, we'll talk about this when Eric gets here. It's another example of some crazy right winger that listened to Beck and got a gun and. I know,
Well, he's got those crazy spinning eyes. They're like hypnotist discs that just sort of mesmerize you after
a
while.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, I know about the examples of left-wing violence because guess who they frequently cite?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, because I make the right-wing war on alert system go off when I go on Larry King and make a joke like, I think Rush Limbaugh should be executed for treason. Yeah, then I get on Newsbusters and whatever because they think that I actually think that.
How dare you? How dare you actually say something that seems vaguely violent? And, I bet that all of your followers out there right now are chomping at the bit to go gun down whoever you tell them. You know why? Because we're not that level of crazy. They're sitting there being fed this day after day after day. And the rest of the right doesn't own their violent characters. You know, they don't own their Scott Roeders. Every anti-abortion shooter is a right winger, and the conservative movement has pushed them into that position. And so we're always forced to own up to our crazies. They should embrace theirs.
Yep. Now, Rude, you called us last week from this anti-moratorium rally down there in the Gulf Coast where you're from. Your post is the anti-moratorium rally that ate our oily souls. And you do mention in there that you did, you two seats back was David Vitter. Who apparently people just they don't talk about that anymore, about the
no we don't. All of the very good Catholics and very very God-fearing Baptists down there, they're still going to vote for David Vitter no matter how many whores he's porked. So no matter how many diapers he's had changed on the way. Can you imagine? Never mind.
My offer stands that I made to you last week, and that is
$1 million.
If you actually ask him to his face, did somebody's hooker forget to change their poopy diaper?
You know, if that had been there while I was at the rally, I'd be collecting right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be collecting from jail, but I'd be collecting.
And you also say, but one of your observations, Bobby Jindal, one of the worst worst speakers, his whiny little speech. He approached with all the enthusiasm of a man forced to go to a John Mayer concert with his girlfriend. The crowd clapped a bit, confusedly tried to chant, but was aborted before it reached its first trimester. So another barn burner from Bobby Jindal.
I don't see how this guy is the hope of Republicans. I think it's because, I think I said last week, he's the only brown one they've got right now.
Yeah.
And he's a shade of brown that conservatives can be comfortable with because of the Apu factor.
One of the things that you said last week that I think I'm still chuckling over is Billy Nungesser, you said, is a fat bag of snacks, which was wrong, but I've chuckled many times. But you write that he's not your roly-poly friend anymore. What's going on with him?
Well, he's now turned on the Obama administration. I mean, he's always been outspoken about the Obama administration, but at this rally, he openly mocked Obama about a meeting that they had at the White House. And, you know, it was just obvious that he was pandering to the oil crowd, and he's one of them.
Well,
he may be mad as hell at BP, but he made his money from the oil industry.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you point out that speaker after speaker said this was a war that had to be won, you know, but the war was with the federal government, which was criticized to cheers in a way that BP was not, which is really kind of stunning.
Oh, you should have heard when Ken Salazar's name was mentioned, the entire place erupted in boos. And any time any mention of Democrats in Congress or of President Obama, there was derision, or somebody was cheered if they criticized them. And BP, there was very little criticism of BP throughout. There was an occasional mention of that BP caused the oil spill, but otherwise, it was all good. They were all oil people there.
You know, your conclusion a little depressing for this happy clappy liberal. You write, that's the conclusion the Rude Pundit reached. We are so very by oil, because the cost of weaning this nation off of it is astronomical. It would cost trillions of dollars to extricate ourselves from the claws of big oil, and we simply are no longer a nation that thinks in such ways anymore. So you didn't walk out very optimistic about our clean energy future.
No, the Louisiana has already been destroyed by the oil industry. And the amount of money that it would take to repair that on top of the damage that was done by BP, you know what? You may as well not stop drilling. That's where, unless you are willing to actually do something that prevents the wetlands from being lost in the way that they are as a direct result of the actions of the oil companies, then the coast is destroyed already.
Yeah.
And we can pretend and we can play nice and we can say that, you know, optimistically at some point in the future there will be windmills in every backyard. But when are we going to do that?
If not now, when? Exactly.
We can't even talk about undoing tax cuts or letting tax cuts expire without causing, a rhetorical war to break out.
Yeah. Well, the good news is Lindsay Lohan's out of jail.
Oh,
I just was trying to end on a happy note. You know how I am.
By the way, yes. Just one quick movie note. Don't see Toy Story 3, though, because Buzz Lightyear does get tortured.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
I can't do it. All right, thank you.
And,
all right.
Also,
don't mock my wussy movie taste.
Rude has a couple of plays, and one was just announced.
Yes?
Yes, I right at the top of the rudepundit.blogspot.com, I've got a play that I wrote and directed that's coming up at the Fringe Festival. It is very vulgar, very sexual, and very and kind of savage. But you'll feel very sexy in it, and then you'll feel uncomfortable about being sexy, and then you'll walk away not knowing what to do with yourself after. However, you will have a good time. It's called Heterosexuals, and ticket links are online, and I'll send it over to put it up on Stephanie Miller.
God bless you. Well, not the person, the website, stephaniemiller.com. However, you'd have to pay more, like NASCAR, if you actually want it on me.
Yes. I'll send it to your printer.
All right. I love you, Lee. Goodbye, Rude. There he goes, his rudeness.
That's
Monday. 47 minutes after the hour. Oh, Fletch in Illinois thinks that Anthony Weiner was just grandstanding.
Oh,
we'll talk
okay.
to him next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, too late. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming right up to co-host Right Wing World. Fletch in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Fletch.
Hey, I'm new to the area. Steph, love the show.
Thank you.
I'm just, I'm upset. And I understand that this is like, you know, just the happy everybody going to work show, et cetera. And
yes.
To be quite honest, you know, I get a big kick out of just seeing some of the hypocrisy that comes out of the other side. I get a chance to go ahead and hear the sound effects, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when I go ahead and I hear Anthony Weiner bombast casting on the floor, and we go ahead and say things like, oh, this is great, this is awesome. But when it really comes down to, he's just a sacrificial lamb that's put out there because we have the freaking votes to make this happen.
Uh-huh.
And
you don't think any of his, being from New York, you don't think any of his emotion was real?
No, it's all real. But at the same time...
Do you prefer the John Boner's crying fits?
I'm a negotiator. Mm-hmm. I go ahead and I do things. And I'm a negotiator. I'm a small businessman. And I go ahead and always argue from a position of power. And when you have all the cards, we have all the cards. Why would we not go ahead and push it through? And even
because a procedural trick that the Republicans used necessitated a three quarters majority vote instead of just a simple majority.
I think they've obviously, Fletch, look, they've been obstructing on each and every issue. It doesn't matter what it is. This time, Anthony Weiner, I think his emotion got the better of him because you don't play politics with
all three of us are intelligent, smart people. Mm-hmm. And we know what the numbers are. We don't need.
Wait, but that doesn't mean that the Republicans still. This was not beneath them to obstruct on this too.
No. What it comes down to is we didn't even go ahead and stick to principles. The very thing that Weiner was talking about, we didn't go ahead and stick to.
What are you talking about?
We could have went ahead and blown through it all, taken the right votes, but people were worried about their elected office, etc. And I'm not going to go ahead and say it, but it's BS.
I think what the Republicans did are BS. I totally understand his, that you could define on the stimulus, on bailouts, on health care, if you want to be obstructionist asshats, but on 9/11 responders.
No, really. If Stephanie, if you, I, and I'm sorry, I don't know the gentleman that's
Chris,
on the line with us right now.
Yes.
All right, but if we were in some sort of contract negotiations with things that we just needed some people to come along with us, but we had the votes to go ahead and to take over the company, whatever it was, and we're talking about first responders.
Yes, well, if we were negotiating about people that had gone into the rubble to save fellow Americans that are sick now, yes, I think we would be annoyed if we were negotiating. Don't you agree, other gentlemen on the line?
Huh? What?
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, things are bad enough for me. As you know, I'm a disabled elderly shut-in with a broken foot. However, and now, I didn't even realize this, but according to Phyllis Schlafly, I'm on welfare.
You're on welfare?
Apparently. All unmarried women are.
Oh, okay. Even though you're a small business owner?
Yes. I am also apparently on welfare because I'm a single unmarried loser.
Who the hell would marry Phyllis Schlafly?
Conservative activist Phyllis Schlafly took aim at unmarried women at a recent fundraiser, saying they overwhelmingly support President Obama and are all on welfare.
Oh.
So, there you go. By the way, she has endorsed more than 60 Republican candidates. They've won her endorsement.
Hmm.
She said unmarried women, 70% of unmarried women voted for Obama, and this is because when you kick your husband out, you've got to have Big Brother government to be your provider.
Oh,
she is
dear.
So very, very, she's done so much for the women's movement, hasn't she? She stood by her comments, said Obama is trying to boost welfare rolls to help his reelection and help Democrats. She said, yes, I said that. It's true, too. All welfare goes to unmarried moms. They are trying to line up their constituency for Obama and the Democrats against Republican candidate. Blah, 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 blah.
Isn't she the same woman that that crusades against women joining the workforce?
I believe so.
Well,
it sounds like
she has a job saying all of this stuff, doesn't she? Mm. So she's kind of hypocritical.
I inadvertently shook her hand once.
Ew.
Did I tell you that story?
Ew.
I was at the 1980 Goldwater Miller reunion in Chicago. And she came up to me and shook my hand. She said, I heard you were here. I wanted to meet you. Hi, I'm Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah.
I was like, no! I got it on me. I got Schlafly on me.
This was in 1980?
She campaigned really hard for my dad in Goldwater. Right. I was like, oh, thanks for everything you've done for the women's movement. Stupid.
But this was 1980, so you were still a Republican back then.
No.
Because you had voted for Ronald Reagan.
No, not. I don't think it was 80. I don't know when it was. It was in the late 80s, whenever I was in Chicago.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's different then.
By the way, I think her son has the gay on him, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I think he got a little of the gay on
She's
him.
She's also quite the homophobe, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Mm.
She doesn't like the homos.
Mm. 58, she's a peach. 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard is next to co-host Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1. Do the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Chris and Yankton did. We were discussing Captain Moneybags, the owner of the show.
Yes.
And he, you were saying he wears a top hat and a spats.
And a monocle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a big, just a big bag of money with a cash sign on it.
Yep.
The owner of the show is Uncle Wiggly from Monopoly. Yes, that's exactly.
Computer
says, yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Uncle Wiggly is something completely different.
Who is the guy from Monopoly?
That's Rich Uncle Moneybags.
That's him. That's exactly what he looks like.
Uncle Wiggly was a different cartoon character altogether.
Mm.
He was a rabbit.
All right, Andy writes, Steph, when we talk about illegal immigration, we need to fight the crazies with facts. Oh, he's supplying with some immigration fun facts.
Oh, okay.
Illegal immigrants do pay taxes. They pay federal, state, and local sales, excise, and other fees and fines directly. They pay some taxes indirectly, like property and utility taxes that are part of the rent they pay. They are not eligible for food stamps, unemployment benefits, student loan assistance, Pell Grants, or any other government assistance other than a bus ride back home to their home country, and realize that people making minimum wage do not pay federal income tax. So just saying. All right. We have Eric Bollard standing by. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Let's start with the what the Fox News. Looks like Helen Thomas's seat is going to Fox News at the in the White House press room.
Almost, not exactly. Right. The Fox is getting bumped up to the front row, but apparently not front center. Does any of this remind you of the high school lunchroom seating?
Totally.
Party? Yeah.
So it's not center front row that Helen Thomas has, but they are finally moving up to the front row.
It's like a scene from Heathers.
They are. They're all Heathers, all the Fox girls. So, Eric, another great piece this week on, you know, we were just talking about this with Rude Pundit. You know, the actual violence that has resulted from a lot of the actual violent rhetoric on the right. You talk about, on his radio show, Glenn Beck highlighted claims that before he started targeting a little-known left-leaning organization called the Tides Foundation on his Fox News show, nobody knew what the nonprofit was. Indeed, for more than a year, Beck has been portraying the progressive organization as a central player in a larger nefarious cabal of Marxist, socialist, Obama-hating, or excuse me, Nazi Obama-loving outlets determined to destroy democracy in America. So tell us who Byron Williams is.
Byron Williams is a convicted felon who's out on parole, and 2 weeks ago loaded up his mom's pickup truck with ammo and guns and headed up the California coast in order to spark a political revolution. He was going to start killing people at the Tides Foundation.
Mm.
And luckily, he was the California Highway Patrol pulled him over for drunk driving before he could get to his destination. And this is all his own telling after he was arrested. This is what he wanted to do. This is who he was going to kill. This is why he was going to kill people.
He opened fire and injured two of the officers.
That's right. There was a 10-minute shootout on the highway. Total nut job. And so you start to wonder who the Tides Foundation. I'd never heard of the Tides Foundation.
Right.
I'm supposed to be part of this liberal cabal.
Right.
Yeah.
Very low profile. They facilitate nonprofit giving on the left. And as Media Matters pointed out, virtually the only person with a microphone in America who's been talking about the Tides Foundation in the last year has been Glenn Beck, who's talked about it at least 30 times.
Yep.
And it's not too hard to connect the dots that he is inciting this incredible hatred and fear in these completely innocuous nonprofit organizations that now need to hire people with guns to man their front door.
Well, and you know, just in case we've forgotten, list them. The domestic anti-government terrorists, the recent Pentagon shooter, the Holocaust Museum gunman, the kamikaze pilot who flew his plane into an IRS building in Austin, Texas, the Pittsburgh cop killer who set up an ambush because he was convinced Obama was going to take his guns away. But once again, the conversation you and I always have is, where's sort of the media story about this? Where's the storyline? I mean, it's like they're afraid to talk about this.
To connect the obvious dots. Oh, absolutely. Right. I mean, remember what happened when the government released that report in last year suggesting there was these radical right group, violent groups are on the rise, and the entire right-wing media went berserk, and basically the government had to apologize for being absolutely correct about these radical right-wing groups on the rise. So they're afraid to connect the dots. And well, I guess if Byron Williams had made it to the Tides Foundation and opened fire, then the press would have covered it, and then maybe the press would have started answering, asking some questions.
Well, and the other thing, the Shirley Sherrod thing in the news quite a bit, but I hadn't even, this Andrew Breitbart website, I didn't even realize, because I don't go there. But you talk about, how extreme that is. It's tagged Obama as the suicide bomber in chief.
No, I mean, his blogs, his websites, Big Government, I'm not even going to name them. They're staffed with these loonies who basically just fill the site, spouting off these wild conspiracies and hateful. And yeah, I mean, I sort of picked that one out of a hat. A couple months ago, one of the bloggers described Obama as suicide bomber in chief. The president of the United States is our suicide bomber in chief. That just sort of gives you a sense of just sort of the daily pedestrian violent rhetoric that is passed for, commentary on the right today.
Well, and you've, written about this before, just this sort of summer of race baiting. You write, this summer, this latest toxic twist to the line of attack is that Obama's destroying America on purpose in order to exact revenge from white America for the historic sin of slavery. Think Black Manchurian Candidate, the GOP noise machine now mixing a vile cocktail by stirring revolutionary rhetoric with hateful race baiting. I mean, it really, I guess there is no depth that they won't sink to at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it really is sort of jumped off the tracks. And again, adding the race baiting with sort of this violent insurgency rhetoric that, people are going to have to start standing up to this tyrannical government. I mean, it's a total recipe for violence. And we've already seen the violence.
Yep. Hey, I know. Let's have some more. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Funny you should mention it. Gee, this sounds, when Glenn Beck says there something will happen, it almost seems like he's encouraging it, doesn't it?
They are dismantling this system. They are fundamentally transforming it into something you will not recognize. That the executive branch has just eaten the legislative branch. Mm. They are tampering with the census. They are tampering with the elections. That there will be problems with this next election that will only cause more strife in the streets.
Wow.
I see.
Well,
so
that's what I pointed out in my column. I mean, if you listen to Beck and Limbaugh on the radio for all those hours and watch Beck on TV every day, I mean, the unequivocal message is do something. This country is being destroyed in front of your eyes. Do something, and some people like Byron Williams are deciding. And then, we raised that point, and Glenn Beck goes on, and all last week he was defending himself about the Tides Foundation, and he says, well, he has to keep reminding his viewers not to be violent. Why does he have to keep doing that? He did it last week. He does it all the time. You're reminding people don't take violent actions. If you have, a sane, grounded audience, why would you have to keep reminding them not to start, killing people or something?
Is he winking when he says that?
Yeah. Tony Blankley on the Hannity Show. Why did I have a feeling they were going to make this about race with Charlie Rangel?
It's a political fact that forever that I know of, Black politicians are less scrutinized.
It's a double
standard.
It needs to end.
And so they think they can get away with stuff, and then suddenly something like this happens, and they can't.
Oh, I see. You know.
He did agreement there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, clearly black politicians have been getting away with murder for years.
Right, right.
Yes.
And it's time to... I guess they're really... Maybe this is sort of the Andrew Breitbart school of race baiting. They really just want blacks to be equal. So they've been getting away with it for murder for years, and I guess nice people like Tony Blankley really just want blacks to be held to the same standard as whites, and we can finally have that colorblind society. So when you think about it, the Fox News folks are really advancing a colorblind outlook on life.
Exactly.
Of course. It's so clear now.
Yes.
Now I finally understand.
All right. After our first helping of racism, let's have a little sexism from Mark Levin.
Joy Behar, who I believe is a guy dressed up as a woman. That's just my view. A guy dressed up as a woman, what's that? Transvestite? I think she's a transvestite. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I'm not going to check.
Talking about Ann Coulter?
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, every time Mark makes fun of someone's appearance, you just sort of like...
Yeah, digs his own hole.
You just
this guy?
Shake your head and chuckle warmly. All right, Juan Williams in for O'Reilly. On
Candidate Obama promised to fix the immigration mess, but President Obama has done nothing to solve the border chaos. Will he pay at the polls with Latinos?
What? Huh? What the fox?
Does Juan Williams actually read beforehand what they scribble for him to write to yeah. say on Fox News?
He's the Fox liberal, right?
Yeah. He doesn't really believe that crap, does he?
Wow. So President Obama, the first one, did not do anything about illegal immigration, so he's going to pay with Latinos for that.
Right, doing anything, he's not currently in a controversial... His Justice Department is currently not in a controversial court battle with the state of Arizona.
Yes, exactly, in Juan Williams' world. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard remains in the sidecar as we continue with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Half an hour away from the wildly popular Mondays with McClurg. Edie McClurg joins us live in studio here in L.A. with the really cute Jim Ward. Oh, Jim, you're just cute.
You're so cute. You're so cute.
All right, Eric Bollard from Media Matters rejoins us for Right Wing World. Oh, heavens, I'm sorry to do it to you, Erica. It's on an early Monday morning. Sarah Palin on the Fox News Sunday.
Polls are fickle, so we won't even talk about the approval rating or the favorability. As for the unfavorable, you know, I don't blame people for not really knowing what it is, in some instances, what I stand for, what my record is, because if I believed everything that I read or heard in the media, I wouldn't like me either.
Yes, I think we got plenty of you in context during the campaign to not like you.
It's all the media's fault.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on like 24 months now since she hit the national stage.
Yeah.
And it's still people can't. It's sort of insulting. I mean, how dumb does she think people are? In 2 years, they haven't really been able to figure out who she is or what she stands for?
Yeah, I mean, I think
I mean,
that.
Who's writing her Facebook posts? I mean, should she get a new writer if they're not being clear enough?
I think that's what ended up happening in the campaign. The more people saw of her, right? The more they were like, oh, yeah, no, wow.
Facebook is part of the liberal media, apparently.
Oh, okay.
The funny thing is now she won't give any interviews to the press except for Fox News and right-wing radio. And, so it's impossible for people apparently to find out who the real Palin is because she won't talk to anyone other than her Facebook page. And it's really the media's fault.
And Eric, speaking of the polls, I mean, you've seen the polls. Even Republicans think she's cute and quippy and all, but not really qualified to be president.
Oh, yeah, no. Republicans have no interest in her being president or having any position of power, if you look at most of the polls. So apparently, you know, Fox News is also not doing its job in correctly conveying the brilliance and wonder that is Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Demon Seed Liz Cheney on the Fox News Sunday.
You know, there are an awful lot of voices out there who seem to be saying now, come on, let's just quit, let's just go home.
That's not an option for us. We've been down that road before. We saw what happened at the end of the 80s, the beginning of the 90s, when we walked away from Afghanistan. We've got to stay there until we're able to create a stable, sovereign government that can prevent Afghanistan from becoming a haven again for terrorists. I would really like to see President Obama move to ask the government of Iceland to shut that website down. I'd like to see him move to shut it down ourselves if Iceland won't do it. I'd like to see them move aggressively to prosecute Mr. Assange.
Wow, can we just shut down? Maybe we should bomb Iceland. Is that
That's what it sounds like she's advocating.
Wow.
Get that volcano started again.
There's a war even we hadn't thought of yet.
Poor Iceland. And I love when Liz Cheney just shows up on these parachutes in as an expert in fill in the blank. You know, whatever they need her for.
By the way,
security, anything, you name it, she'll be officially become an expert.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, she said her father, Dick, hopes to return home by the end of this week, and he's already planning trips for fishing and hunting later this year. So he's hopefully, she thinks, feeling better and ready to shoot some friends in the face again very soon. Some hunting trips planned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chris Wallace on the Fox News Sunday.
Senator McConnell, you know, though, the Democrats are going to hit you as the GOP, as the party of obstruction. Let's look at what Republicans have done in your body, the Senate. You have blocked lending assistance for small business.
Yeah.
You have voted against extending unemployment benefits.
Yes.
You have voted against financial regulatory reform.
Yes.
Is that the way to boost the economy?
Oh!
Yikes! That sounded like real journalism.
The whole show yesterday was really strange for Chris Wallace. He woke up on a different side of the bed. I mean, he gave it to McConnell. He was giving it to lots of Republicans yesterday. Like you said, like an actual journalist. Not, you know, in an unfair or mean-spirited way, but just like asking obvious questions someone would ask from a devil's advocate role, which is what hosts are supposed to do on these Sunday shows. And it was just like out of the blue, this mirage appeared. And I don't know when we're going to see it again, but it was interesting.
Wow. What did Mitch McConnell do? Anybody see that?
He kind of sputtered.
He looked around. He's like, am I on Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always the most entertaining thing, is to see the look on a Republican's face when they're asked a real question on Fox. There's what? Huh? I wasn't told I'd have to come prepared with some sort of... What?
Am I on MSNBC? What? Did I get in the wrong building? Oh, on the other side of the street.
All right. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America. See you next week, Eric.
All right. Talk to you.
All right. There you go. We are entertained by Eric Bowler's phone manner.
Well, he just seems like he's in quite a hurry to get off the phone with us.
Listen, I'm used to it. It's how most men sound. It's how you sound when I call you, like yesterday.
I was driving back from Las Vegas.
You're like, all right, yeah. Like you've already started to walk away during my last sentence.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to say, blah, blah, blah.
You're already
blah.
In the garage.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling. All right. Larry, my right-wing love muffin in Columbus. Hello, Larry.
Hi. See, I knew that would get me right on. Just call yourself a right-winger from Ohio. That's
yes. You go to the front of the line.
That's a grand slam for you guys. You
yes.
know, listen, I enjoy actually listening to you, even
Thank
though
you.
I definitely lean to the right.
What?
I watch Fox. I do watch MSNBC. You took both of those comments out of context. I saw the Tony Blakely thing. Mm-hmm. There was an African-American woman sitting next to him who agreed to him. And what he was saying was that African-Americans in the Black Congressional Caucus get a pass. There's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, I think he was saying, you know, what's
know,
apparently
what
common wisdom for him
saw,
is, you know, Black people always break the law. They just get away
no,
with it.
No, that's not what he said, and mm-hmm. I saw it. You're taking out of
You know,
context.
Black people
and
steal,
Beck,
you know.
And Beck, well, because, of course, every right-winger is a racist, right? Beck came on the air, because I saw that one also, because they repeated it.
How is that taking it out of context? He said black politicians are scrutinized less than others. Well, what is he basing that on?
That's not racist. That happens to be
What is he basing that on?
An entire criminal syndicate was run out of Tom DeLay's office.
Well, see, how come whenever a criticism of a Democrat comes up, you guys have to bring up a Republican?
Why did he have to make it about race? Why did he say black politicians are not scrutinized?
It's a natural thing because people are concerned that they're going to be called a racist by you guys, so they lay off of them. You tell me why Rangel for 2 years has not been put up. Everything that guy's done is
Larry, we had one guy. You had that entire Abramoff ring
in the last
election. We had one guy, black guy, as it turned out, that had money in his freezer, and we
booted
him
out.
Exactly. The Republicans do everything they can to keep these guys
right.
in. Ensign, the Vitter, who else am I thinking of? Larry Craig, doesn't matter who
DeLay.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They voted to have delay, not lose his leadership.
Absolutely.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are some kind of crazy.
Well, I'd rather be acting crazy than feeling crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Don't forget tomorrow, our Tuesday pal, the hilarious Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America from the Boston Globe. All right. Since our caller brought up the, scandals, the, you know, the Charlie Wrangle.
Charlie Wrangle? I've been wrangling with this problem for a long time. Get me? Wrangling. Because I'm Charlie Wrangle.
No, it's the Democrats' problem to wrangle.
Yeah.
Now, tell me how we took this out of context. Play Tony Blankley again. Why not? He made it about race. There's not a way to take that out of context.
It's a political fact that forever that I know of, black politicians mm-hmm. are less scrutinized.
It's a double for standard. That and it's a double it needs standard. To end.
And so uh-huh. they think they can get away with stuff, and then suddenly something like this happens, and they can't.
Uh-huh. But there was a black woman agreeing with it. See, that's the
oh,
context.
See, then that's what I makes see. It not racist.
I see. Mm-hmm. So let's review. In the we had Tom DeLay, who should be in prison, draining cigarettes for his life. Still not sure why he's not. We had how many people were involved in this whole Abramoff scandal? Almost all of them, the Republicans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
One of them was J.D. Hayworth, who's
they
now
have
running
Newt
against
Gingrich, who got run out of town on a rail talking about this stuff. Right. They go out of their way to keep these guys in power. DeLay, Ensign, Vitter, yes.
When they get Democrats, it seems to be over just really, you know, picayune things. Who was the Speaker of the House? Rostenkowski.
Dan Rostenkowski, yeah.
For using stamps, congressional stamps.
Yes.
Come on.
No, I mean, in the last cycle is all I'm saying. We had the one guy, uh-huh. and we booted it out, the guy with the money in his freezer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was like, just this whole drain the swamp and blah, blah, blah. It really, once again, you're right, it is not the same thing. And I'm not defending if there's wrongdoing, then, you know.
But we're always so quick to criticize our wrongdoers for the most
yeah.
minimal thing.
Yeah, and I said, obviously, and again, I don't know a lot about it, and I've obviously been on record as being a big fan of Maxine Waters, who is, you know, just from living out here, I know is a great congresswoman and fights really hard for a lot of people out here. And I don't know the details of this, but Chris, you and I were talking about this mm-hmm. earlier. You know, first of all, that's been her big thing, is fighting for minority housing and all of that. So, you know, as I understand it, her husband is on the board of one of these many banks that she fought to get funding for
right.
minority housing. She says she disclosed that her husband's involvement. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But, you know,
But again, that's nothing compared to the
that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm going, and I don't even, again, well, I guess we'll see.
It's like failing to dot a couple of I's and cross a couple of T's compared to burning up the whole stack of paper.
How is John Ensign still in there? I mean, how is that not 16 kinds of wrong?
Yeah.
Anyway, but meanwhile, President Obama kind of throwing Charlie Wrangle under the bus some of the week.
Charlie Wrangle.
He sending a strong signal to Charlie Wrangle, telling CBS News yesterday the time has come for him to end his career with dignity. Oh, there's Charlie under the bus. A person close to Wrangle tells Politico the Democrat doesn't give a damn what the president thinks about this and won't step down. Oh, dear. The president said, I think Charlie Wrangle served a very long time and served his constituents very well, but these allegations are very troubling. He's somebody who's at the end of his career, 80 years old. I'm sure that what he wants to be able to do is end his career with dignity, and my hope is that happens.
And not screw up the election.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. At some point, it's more the appearance than what the actual truth of it is. Didn't they reprimand, though? So that's milder. Then obviously expulsion not even being considered, right?
Right, right.
Well, the Republicans are going to make hay out of it no matter what.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. One thing I will say, one member of the Congressional Black Caucus speaking on condition of anonymity expressed bitterness the president would turn publicly on Rangel, a decorated Korean War combat veteran. That, I think you can't, that I think is unfair. Because a lot of people, you know, have served and you got to honor that, but that doesn't mean they're immune to criticism or they're not, they shouldn't follow the same ethics rules. So, you know. Nancy Pelosi says she is out of the loop in the House Ethics Committee's investigation of Charlie Rangel. She said it's an elementary discussion because what we have done is to wait and see what the committee decides. But, you know, again, once again, I do not think it's analogous to the swamp that did have to be drained after the last election cycle.
Well, Republicans are for winning at all costs.
Yep.
And to admit any kind of guilt for anything was a sign of weakness. And they just won't do it.
Yeah. Representative Waters has chosen to go through an ethics trial like the one lined up for Rangel rather than accept charges made by an ethics subcommittee. Her case revolves around allegations she improperly intervened with federal regulators to help a bank that her husband owned stock in on whose board he once served. Waters denies any wrongdoing. Congressman Waters has chosen to go through an
adjudicatory.
Yes, subcommittee hearing rather than accept any of the counts from the investigative subcommittee. So, you know, yeah, I mean, people are allowed to make their case in instances like this. So I just
and if, you know, if she told the ethics committee about it, then, you know, there's going to be a paper trail of that and there should be no problem.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. All right. Speaking of Pelosi, she wants a vote before the November elections on whether to extend tax cuts for those with annual income over $250,000 a year. She said the tax cuts for the wealthiest with incomes of $250,000 and above were the Bush initiative. I don't see any reason why we should renew a tax cut that only gives a tax cut to the wealthiest people in America, increases the deficit, and doesn't create jobs. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Thank you.
It makes sense if you're a rich Republican.
Yeah. Did you see, I have to say, one of the stunning things, I was watching Alan Greenspan. Did you see him on Meet the Press yesterday? I mean, this was his idea. You know, he said the federal government should simply allow the Bush tax cuts to expire. He said, I'm very much in favor of tax cuts, but not with borrowed money. You know, at least he's an honest.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And the problem that we've come to in recent years is spending programs are funded with borrowed money, tax cuts with borrowed money, and at the end of the day, that proves disastrous. When asked if he agrees with Republicans who say the tax cuts pay for themselves, he said simply, they do not. Thank you.
Gee, what could he possibly meant by that?
That's so hard to understand. They do not. No.
I didn't see him because I don't know. He looks like a plate of spaghetti every time he's on my TV.
Oh, come on now. I just think it's too much time in the bathtub. I think that's...
that he's just a
wrinkled
prune?
Like, things have swelled in the wrong places, and it's just something... Yeah, he's like a Mr. Potato Head that you're like, oh, well, that's... No.
But Andrea Mitchell loves him.
Yes! Okay.
What was that look for?
He's just that he offered that he does all his thinking, his best thinking in the bathtub, and it just looks like he is just over time.
There's a lot of time in the bathtub. In fact, every time I talked to Congress, I was actually in a bathtub. I wore a tie, but I beneath the desk.
You know what? I'm guessing that is the one couple in America that has sex in those side-by-side bathtubs on the beach.
Ooh.
That's in that Cialis commercial. I think somehow...
They figured out how to do it.
Yes. From separate bathtubs.
She sees something in him, and I'm glad someone does.
Yes.
I'm glad they found each other.
Greenspan described the current state of the U.S. economy as a pause in our recovery, a modest recovery, but a pause in a modest recovery feels like a quasi-recession. So anyway, I thought some interesting stuff. The president yesterday said, when I look back on what we've accomplished in the last 18 months, preventing the country from sinking into a Great Depression, stabilizing the financial market, saving the U.S. Auto industry, and oh, by the way, passing health care, I'd say that's a pretty good track record.
Still, he should have listened to Paul Krugman. Should have gone bigger
stimulus
on the stimulus and not worried about carping Republicans, because they're going to do that anyway.
They will carp no matter what. Bob in Colorado. Hello, Bob.
Thank you for your service to the country. Isn't that what we're supposed to say?
Yes, thank you. You're welcome.
I want to know
happy
why.
To do it.
I'm a little bit upset with Obama because everybody coming down so hard on Charlie Rangel when you have Republicans like Vetter and Ensign and Coburn are all under criminal investigation at this time, right now, for money laundering. And you hear nothing about that. All you hear about is Rangel. And the worst thing that's going to come out of it is a reprimand. Which, you know, so what? He's going to get elected again in November.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but
kind of,
It's, I think that, you know, the main thing is political, unfortunately. It's bad timing for Democrats. Mm. But you're right. It's like, once again, it is nothing compared to this whole Abramoff syndicate.
Everybody buys into the Republican talking points dominate everything. It's just whatever, it's always out there.
Well, we'll have to leave it there.
It's irritating.
Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you. It's
well, John Ensign is so yesterday.
Yeah, that's scandal. So whatever.
So yesterday.
Yes. Meanwhile, apparently Meg Whitman can shove an underling in a boardroom.
Yes, an Asian underling.
An Asian underling. She's pro shoving in a corporate sense, and apparently she still might get elected in California. Who knew? Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Although I must say, things are running much better here since I've instituted my shoving policy.
Good morning.
Yeah, you've only lost three underlings out the window.
Hello, Sue.
Good morning. The list is way, way too long, but let me just throw some names out. Republicans versus Democrats, just looking at scandals since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From the Jack Abramoff, we have Tom DeLay. We had Adam Kadon, Michael Scanlon, Tony Rudy, Robert Ney, who's out of jail now, Neil Volz, John Albar, Jared Carpenter, Robert Coughlin. Remember our very favorite John Doolittle, Duke Cunningham, Kyle Fogo, Bill Janko was Republican from South Dakota, convicted of second degree manslaughter.
Yep.
That's just some of the people. Rick Renzi was charged with 35 counts of fraud and conspiracy and money laundering. Let's not forget Ted Stevens, of course.
Yep.
And all the things he did. Then if you want to go over to other, you've got David Safavian, Robert Stilwell, Susan Ralston, Stephen Griles. All of these are Republicans. Oh, Lester Crawford, remember him? He pled guilty to conflict of interest. Oh, my goodness.
You're like Rain Woman. You're Republican scandal Rain Woman.
I am. It's just there's one after another. And we haven't even touched the Bush administration payments to columnists like Maggie Gallagher, Armstrong Williams, Michael McManus. So how about Bernie Kerik? Would you like to go there?
Oh, that's my favorite.
You know, then we didn't even touch the Plame affair. I mean, you just go on and on and on. So, yes, we have a Torricelli, and we have William Jefferson. We have, unfortunately, Rangel. But the numbers are staggering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, and like I say, I am admitting I don't know all the facts, but as Jim said, compared to, I don't know, Maxine Waters helped a bank that does minority. That's what she does. She tries to help, you know, minority housing. Her husband's on the board of one of the banks, and she says she disclosed that, and that's the same thing as everything you just mentioned.
And we haven't touched C Street. I haven't even mentioned the C Street thugs.
Hey, Vey. Yep, I hear you. All right, Sue. Thank you.
Did you see that the right wing is trying to pin a scandal on Representative Grayson?
Oh, really now?
Yes.
Not on my congressman.
For emailing out a DVD to his constituents.
Oh my God.
They're calling it the Grayson Franking scandal.
No! Well, we'll talk to him about that on Thursday. All right.
I've forgotten about Dusty Fargo, Private Dick.
Yes.
Exactly. Our favorites ever since Turner and Hooch.
Yes.
Yes. Fargo and Wilkes.
And what, William Ney. That was one I'd forgotten about.
All right, 47 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. You're so fine,
Steffi. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lawrence Korb will join us tomorrow to update us on Afghanistan. He, you know, worked for Reagan and stuff.
Whatever.
Assistant Defense Secretary and stuff.
Yes.
I call him Larry.
He prefers to be called Larry by you.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
I think he's smitten. He's in deep smit.
I'm smitten back.
Aw.
All right. Oh, by the way, so we were talking about the quantity of Republican crooks. Speaking of which, Newt Gingrich. Why, remember him?
Frankly.
Speaking of ethics.
You got nothing on me, Copper, frankly. Frankly, you'll never catch me, frankly.
And now, looks like he's running for president. That's what happens
to
Republicans.
Stop the world, Mom, frankly.
Oops. Here was one of his little foreign policy thoughts. Yesterday, he suggested the U.S. needs to finish what President Bush started when he identified it as his axis of evil in 2002. He said, I believe he was right, but he couldn't operationalize what he said. That is, there was axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, North Korea. Well, we're one out of three.
So,
we have Iran and North Korea to go.
I get the feeling that Newt Gingrich and George W. Bush really don't get along.
And if somebody in right-wing worlds to be believed, Iceland is next, because that's where the WikiLeaks is.
Liz Cheney suggested that we bomb Iceland. Bomb the hell out of Iceland.
She did not. Well. She simply... If that's
Am I
the
putting
only,
words in her
if
mouth?
If that's the only way to shut down WikiLeaks is... What...
Damn it.
She put something in her mouth to shut her up.
Hey!
Oh, Jim Louise
Ward.
Come on now. Hey, this doesn't seem at all inflammatory, does it? There's a pastor hosting International Burn a Koran Day.
What?
But he says he has nothing against Muslims. Yeah, I don't think
that'll... Burn a Koran, not it's a car end. What?
A Koran, I'm Koran. Sorry. Did I mispronounce that? On September 11th, 2010, the extremist evangelical Dove World Church, that's a tricky name, see? Whose pastor Terry Jones has written a book called Islam is of the Devil, which seems in itself to be
unnecessarily.
Plans to host International Burn a Koran Day when it will burn the Muslim sacred texts and encourage others across the world to do so as well. Ah, thanks for your help. Thanks for your help on the whole apocalypse. Nice. By the by, Pakistan's UN ambassador, did you catch that yesterday on the CBS News? He said that the Afghan war does not seem so much, what's the word, Jim, winnable.
No, that's not.
He also suggested that the insurgents' attacks in Afghanistan will decrease when U.S. and NATO troops leave. That doesn't seem okay then.
We should ask the Soviet Union what to do. Oh, they're gone now. We
Oops.
Can't. Yeah.
All right. The president was in Michigan yesterday, a year after the government's auto industry bailout. President Obama on Friday trumpeted increased car sales and progress on battery-powered vehicles as a beacon of success in his administration's battle to revive a hurting U.S. economy. The president on Friday.
Our economy is growing again instead of shrinking. That's a welcome sign compared to where we were, but... We've got to keep on increasing that rate of growth and keep adding jobs so we can keep moving forward. And that's especially important for places like this.
He said there's a Just Say No crowd in Washington that would have let the domestic car industry die. Has anybody on the right admitted that he was right about the auto industry bailout?
No, God, of course not. That'd be a sign of weakness. Admitting that he was right about anything.
The president said taxpayers will recoup the billions poured into Chrysler and GM. By the way, that dealing it doesn't apply to is the $25 billion that the Bush administration gave them. We won't get that back, but what happened under Obama's watch, we likely will.
With interest.
The president on Friday.
Today, for the first time since 2004, all three U.S. automakers are operating at a profit.
That seems like a good thing.
And somehow the Republicans will spin it that that's communism.
Yeah.
That's how that socialism works there.
Last year, many thought this industry would keep losing jobs, as it had for the better part of the past decade. Today, U.S. automakers have added 55,000 jobs since last June, the strongest job growth in more than 10 years in the auto industry.
Damn it, how are we going to spin that? Crap.
And the president on the Chevy Volt.
Some of you saw me drive the Volt about 12 inches. They don't let me drive much these days.
He has his Volt motorcade for 12 inches. All right. Hey, guess what? Today is Medicare's 45th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Guess who's wishing them a happy anniversary? The RNC. Who?
What? But they fought against it.
Yes. The Republican National Committee celebrating the occasion by trying to attack Obamacare and by pretending the GOP has been a defender of Medicare.
Oh, my God.
Historically speaking, the RNC posted an online research briefing called Happy 45th Birthday, Medicare, alleging that President Obama used the Affordable Care Act to take money out of Medicare.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, 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 ha. Jim, I have a couple of historical, guess the quotes for you. Who said, if you don't stop Medicare and I don't do it, one of these days you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was like in America when men were free.
Oh, jeez. Jerry Lewis.
No. Ronald Reagan, 1961. Oh, here's
that
one.
That was on the record.
In 1996, who said, I voted, I was one of 12 House members who voted against creating Medicare in 1965. I was there fighting the fight, voting against Medicare because we knew it wouldn't work in 1965. Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
No. Bob Dole.
That was kind of close, though.
Bob Dole. Bob Dole said Bob Dole didn't like that. Bob Dole not going to vote for it. Bob Dole's going to vote against it.
Come here, lady.
Bob Dole's going to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person. Makes Bob Dole sound like a crackpot.
15 minutes after the hour. Mondays with McClure next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Jim from Chicago did. Steph, love you. See you in the car in a few minutes. You're like the American Express card. I don't go anywhere without the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, that's a fabulous idea. You know, my dad did the first American Express commercial. I think we should get
you
on that.
Me.
Hello, American Express. By the by, Diane in Burlingame, California, did you know you're the official morning diet show?
Wow.
Steph, I was going to write you to please offer a warning, a signal, sound when something outrageously funny is about to air so I could swallow my breakfast after numerous choking incidents. I've concluded the only way to listen safely is to avoid all food and drink during your morning broadcast. Thank you in advance for my soon-to-be spelt figure. You're welcome, Diane. I suppose we should play the disclaimer.
Warning. Listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg, Flavin, undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
And now it's about to get worse because Edie McClurg is here. It's Mondays with McClurg. You have, by the way, this is a proud moment in any young girl's life. It's time for your first jingle. Are you ready, Edie?
Oh, dear. Am I ready? I think I need some,
a little foreplay?
Yes.
Here you go. Come on.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
There you go. It's Mondays with McClurg, everybody.
What was that rude noise right in the middle, right between my name and...
I don't know. It's
like a...
I don't know what that was. We apologize.
Moist, anyway.
Good morning, Edie McClurg. Have you brought commentating notes today?
Yes, I brought a few little notes.
What's on your mind this Monday?
I never use them, but I have them. Oh, well, Michelle Bachmann has said another interesting thing.
Has she now?
She's this representative from Minnesota. Yeah.
Well, uh-huh. you're from the Midwest, so you're in charge of our Midwest bat crazy. So go ahead.
Well, she said, young people will be put into mandatory service.
Oh, yes. She's been saying that.
Provisions for re-education camps for young people,
mm-hmm.
where young people have to go and get trained in a philosophy that the government puts forward.
Yeah. Most friends of mine that are parents this summer, they would send their kids anywhere just to get them out of the house. Parents,
so boy and,
not
boy
fans
and girl
of summer
scout
vacation.
Camps are now re-education camps.
Yeah.
And here's the best one, though.
Yes.
Back in the 1970s, swine flu broke out then under Democrat President Jimmy Carter. I'm not blaming this. I'm not blaming this on President Obama, but I just think it's an interesting coincidence.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so, too.
Let's find intrigue where there is none.
You know what else happened during the 70s? Apollo 13.
Exactly, huh?
Yeah,
yes.
And
program
O.J.
started
Simpson.
By President Kennedy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, thank you. That's much more ominous.
And they monitored the flight from the Johnson Space Center. It's incredibly obvious, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. You know, you are plucky, Edie, and that's why I saved this Funstack story for you. When thieves hit great-grandmother bit, a great-grandmother in Daytona Beach bit an assailant and was dragged several feet hanging onto the getaway car of a couple who snatched her purse. She didn't know how she summoned the strength, but the commotion she created helped her get her belongings back.
There you go.
That happened to me once. Several years ago, someone tried to steal my bike while I was riding it in Central Park. The first time I lived in New York. And he took it and ran, and I put a flying Lawrence Taylor tackle on him.
And you got your bike back.
Yes, indeed I did. I created a commotion.
Yay!
Yes, I think he might have had a gun or a knife, and it probably was not wise, generally speaking. However, yes, I just started screaming obscenities, and I jumped on top of him, and he looked at me like, you crazy bitch.
Just like your brother used to do to you. So
exactly. I learned...
A debt of gratitude for all he taught you.
All the Dick Butkus tackles in the 70s.
Oh, I had a scare when I was a tiny child. I was left in the care of my older brothers. And my brother came out and he says, do you want a jelly sandwich for lunch? And I said, yeah. And so he comes out and he hands me it and it tastes really bad.
Oh.
And I said, what is this? And he says, oh, it's ox blood shoe polish.
Oh.
And he said, now I'll go make you a real jelly sandwich.
Ha,
he goes back in the house and he takes the ox blood shoe polish and he puts it into another sandwich and he brings it to me and I bite it again.
Oh, no.
It's just this was good training for, politics. So
it was the poisoning the little sister prank.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I let my brother hang me so I can one-up you. He had a news set up and a chair, and he was like, Steffi, put your head in here. I was like, okay.
He
knocked the chair out. And
yeah. Well, I had two parents who had to work because, they had low-level government jobs, and that's how we survived. But that left me in the care of these older brothers. And they said one day, let's have a game. I said, okay. And he said, it's called Where Are We Now?
Oh boy.
So they put me in the laundry bag and tied it shut, and then they dragged me around the yard, and they said, where are we now? And I said, I'm on the gravel in the driveway. And I said, where are we now? We're going down the basement steps. Where are we now? And they dragged me out in the middle of the yard, and then they walked away. And I kept saying, Jackie?
Oh, boy.
So I sat in the bag.
Where
tied
are we
up.
Now? We're in a polygamous backyard. we did it again to you.
Could have been.
In the middle of the highway.
You're in the median strip.
Wow. Were you the youngest? Because I wonder.
Yeah,
I was the youngest. Yeah, they hid me in the oven once for a hide and seek. They didn't turn it on, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
I was put into the ringer washer, with the agitator that goes,
wish.
And so they said, call Auntie. Auntie was watching over us, haha. And so they put the cover on, and then I, yelled for Auntie, and Auntie came in the basement, couldn't find me. Went upstairs. I yelled again. She came downstairs. So I was a part of thing. Wrapped around the ringer washer.
Wow.
I'm glad
I'm
alive.
No wonder you became a comedian. I'm surprised you're alive, let alone.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. At least you weren't involved in... Were you ever the victim of a vomit assault by your brothers? A 20-year-old man who intentionally vomited on a spectator and his 11-year-old daughter in a Philadelphia Phillies game was sentenced to up to 3 months in jail and community service, which the judge suggested be filled by cleaning ballpark toilets and trash.
Yeah, cleaning ballpark toilets with his tongue.
Man.
You'd have a lot more vomit attacks.
Why?
I've intentionally sneezed on someone as a joke, but I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't vomit.
Well, I wonder, what was the offense that he...
I don't know.
He had to...
How do you... anyway, all right.
Cheering for the wrong team or something. I don't know.
A woman who says a screaming child on a plane left her partially deaf last year has settled her lawsuit with Qantas. She claims the three-year-old left her in such pain that her ears bled, and she had to be taken to the... Listen, Jim and I understand this. We frequently fly Screaming Baby Airlines to our affiliates. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, and welcome aboard Screaming Baby Airlines. If you are not currently sitting next to a screaming baby, a screaming baby will be issued to you. We'll be flying at an altitude of 30,000 feet. Should we experience a change in cabin pressure, a screaming baby will drop from the overhead compartment. Remember to put the screaming baby on your face first, and then put it on the screaming baby next to you. In the event of a water landing, your screaming baby is also a flotation device. Once again, thank you for flying Screaming Baby Airlines. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for burping.
Do you fly in the same airline?
I have, and and one time it was a new tiny little baby.
Yeah.
And it was the first time for it on the plane.
Yeah. Don't you feel like saying them? Did you really have to go somewhere? Really?
I guess they really had to go somewhere, but it was just, I just said to the, and I was in the middle seat, of course, and the baby was on the outside.
Uh-huh.
And I just, I pulled the aging bladder card. I said, you know, I have to get up and go to the restroom quite a bit, so it'd be better if you put me in a different seat.
Good one.
Lou in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lou.
Hi, good to be with you. Edie, I'm so glad you're on the radio. I remember you on TV, and I'm telling you, you're like birth, you are a scream.
Wow. Oh.
Wow. All right. Thank you,
Lou. Well, at least I'm not after birth.
No, honey, not by a long shot. Hey, I just wanted to touch base with Mr. Obama. I think he is the most racially divisive president we have ever had.
Really?
Because he's racially divisive.
Uh-huh.
He is a guy whose Eric Holder's Justice Department refused to prosecute those three thugs in Philadelphia. Who
you mean George Bush's Justice Department thought it was nothing?
Pardon me?
You mean George Bush's Justice Department decided it was nothing?
No, Barack Obama has failed with Mr. Holder to prosecute these people because they were black. That's what we were told.
I think it's because not one voter claimed that they were intimidated, so there would be there'd have to be a crime first, wouldn't there?
Yes,
it was a Democratic precinct.
It was a crime. You know why? Because it's illegal to harass or intimidate people at a polling station.
Because they weren't harassing or intimidating people.
And he won't prosecute them because they're black.
They were men in scary and stupid looking outfits that weren't intimidating anybody. Unfortunately.
That's not what the videotape shows. That I
know.
Yes, they were, and they were willful about it. They were intentional. And they need to be prosecuted. Mm. And if you won't do it because they're black, that's a racially separated administration, and it's very divisive.
Or, alternatively, it could be because the Bush administration didn't think there was enough evidence to go forward either.
But who's the presidency right now, Mr. Bush or Mr. Obama?
Yes. Well, it started under the Bush administration, but thank you for calling.
You know, they should have prosecuted Rehnquist for harassing... Mexican-Americans and Indians at polling places in Arizona back in the early 60s.
Oh, I thought you were going to say harassing his robe with those silly gold things he put on them. What am I thinking of?
No, that's not illegal. It's just crazy.
That's just nuts. Okay. Hey, do you see how he threw us off there with that Ian McClurg compliment? All right. 18 minutes after the hour.
They're thugs. See, because they're black.
The important thing is we have important Lindsay Lohan news in Celebrity Stack. Edie, you won't want to. This is going to affect all our lives in magical ways. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that is hilarious!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
That's Edie McClurg. It's Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show. Pardon me. Oh, dear. We've set her off now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from
Ooga chaka, ooga, 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 ooga.
All right, kids. Okay. Charles in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Edie McClurg. Hello, Charles.
Hey, you know why Obama was elected president?
Why is that?
Because he's black.
That's right. Yes.
Hey, that previous call, he cracks me up. But, you know,
First of all, the new Black Panther Party is like six guys in stupid costumes. It looks like an old blaxploitation film.
Like the Village. Please. And if they're so terrible, why is the leader of that group on Fox News 50 times? Why do they keep bringing him back if he's such a mean guy?
Yeah, exactly. Because they like video of scary black guys on Fox.
And like you said, nobody was committed any crime. There were people, if you watch the video, you see blacks and whites going to and from the place with no problem. So there's really no case.
Yeah, there's white people going, hey, honey, look at the black guy in the stupid costume.
Right, exactly. Now, the guy that did have the baton, okay, they filed a judgment against him and won.
Yeah.
But contrast to the case where you had, this was in 2006, where you had Hispanic voters accosted, asked to speak English. Somebody had a gun, a 9mm gun with them, and there was no voter intimidation in that case.
Yep.
The Bush refused to file any charges in that case. It was far more serious.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Charles.
All right. Bye.
All right. Edie, I think the important thing for all of us is Lindsay Lohan has her...
They may take our lives!
Lindsay Lohan is free this morning. She's been, yes.
She's been sprung?
She's been sprung from the hole.
Where did they take her?
I don't know. She was released, what, Chris? That was the breaking news this morning. She was released early this morning and taken directly to rehab.
And apparently she's been released from the Linda Lovelace movie, too.
Yes, that was very disappointing for Jim.
Wow.
She's been replaced on the Linda Lovelace movie by Sarah Scott. Do we know her?
Yes, I saw a picture of her.
Really?
She's very blonde.
Does she look like Linda Lovelace?
No.
Not anything like, probably.
She's filming, this is supposed to begin in August, but the 90-day rehab.
Why would you think I would know what Linda Lovelace looks like? What must you think of me?
I don't know. Sense memory?
I only did that story because of your compelling nude shower scene that you told about last week from Carrie.
Oh, yes. My big brother heard that.
Oh, did he?
He's up in Seattle. And
he offered you a jelly sandwich.
I just somehow could picture that. Couldn't you and Jim just... Edie said, I just stood there and looked straight down. I stood in the shower and I looked straight down. All right. Yes. Oh, by the way, what's her name? Dina Lowen. Is that her mother? Dina Lowen.
Cross Mother of the Year, I heard her.
She said, Lindsay doesn't have cell phone privileges. That's absurd. Oh. She doesn't even have a pillow to sleep on. I talked to her through glass. There's a phone, and we put her speaker on. I can't even hug my daughter. She's treated like a common criminal.
Yes.
Well. Yes, that's what jail is. That's what jail is. You see, you break the law.
You go to jail.
There you go.
But I do have something for you.
Yes?
My
infirmity?
Rehab. Infirmity.
I may get my cast off on Thursday. We'll see.
But this is for stimulating, invigorating, excellent for massage.
Oh, thank you. What? Why? How many speeds does that have?
This is a very, very long thing to scrub your back with.
Oh, thank you, Edie. That's very sweet. Isn't that sweet?
I have been
you.
Using this. The Japanese came up with this a long time ago. And it exfoliates
you. Oh, why, thank you. It takes several layers of skin off at the same time. Thank you very much.
Well, don't rub too hard because it could
be an entirely new medical situation.
Yeah, you could have that whole freshly scrubbed look.
Yes.
Down three layers.
Yes,
of
exactly.
But they're good for, to scrub your back without...
I understand. Thank you. I have more breaking celebrity news. Snooki was arrested.
Yay!
Snooki was dragged off the beach in Seaside Heights, New Jersey by police, according to TMZ, handcuffed. The charge, disorderly conduct. The details aren't clear. I'm guessing, Jim, perhaps alcohol was involved, but I could be wrong.
And lots of orange stuff.
Yes, or maybe she OD'd on orange spray tan.
Cheeto dust.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It could be Cheeto dust. Who knows?
Let's see if they replace you with a guy from Saturday Night Live. See if anyone notices.
Oh, no. Not the Bristol at Palin and Levi. The love story may be already coming to a screeching halt, E.D. McClurg. Just when we thought the family values were back.
Well, somebody, he was going with somebody.
He may have knocked someone else up, is the story.
That's
yes.
And so they think maybe
Bristol Palin
shouldn't get married.
Perhaps. Bristol Palin's friends have told RadarOnline.com that she is heartbroken after finding out her fiancé Levi Johnson may have impregnated his ex-girlfriend, Lanisha Garcia. In fact, Bristol may be having second thoughts about going through with the wedding, although a Palin family representative said no official decision has been made. In 2008, Garcia revealed that she and Levi were in a three-year-long relationship before her then-best friend, Bristol, stole him away from her. Oh, it's an entire Jerry Springer episode. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Well, we're just going to have to ask for her papers and send her back where she came from.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, so hip and sexy.
Ciao. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm no Edie McClurg, though. Edie McClurg is everywhere. We realized
that
that's
was
her.
On that public service announcement that just ran.
Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday Pal, reminds us that Edie McClurg was Mrs. Herb Tarlick on WKRP Cincinnati, which I also didn't know. And Julie in Tacoma says you're in her crossword today. Hello, Julie.
Yes, I wanted to know how to spell Miss McClurg's first name.
E.
E.
D.
E.
I.
E.
E.
And you'll fit your 64 across in today's crossword puzzle in the News Tribune. I know Stephanie's made it when it says, new host of the Larry King Show.
Julie, I would hold your breath waiting for that.
All right,
all right, thank you, Julie. All right, there she goes.
Oh, nice of Julie.
Helping people with their crossword live on the air. Isn't that? That's how you know you've made it, right? When you're in a crossword.
How many ways are there to spell Edie, though?
Really? Exactly. I was kind of like, what? All right.
The X is silent. Okay.
You don't actually write the Q out. What?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Will Shorts, who does the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yes.
And Merle Regal.
Yes.
He also does the New York Times. They really like my first name. Because it has
vowels.
Three vowels right. That you can build other words.
It's
not that I'm so popular. My name is helpful to them when they're in a bind.
Exactly.
So you really should spell your name E-E-D-E-E.
E-E-E-E. Because E is the most used, what
vowel.
Do you call that? Vowel. Thank you.
Huh? Really? I did not know that. All right. See how much we're learning from Mondays with McClurg? All right, let's finish up Celebrity Stack. After a night of angry phone calls on January 6th, Mel Gibson apparently texted Oksana the next morning offering an apology. Could you please call me?
Sorry about what I said. Please call me.
I want to tell you how unspeakably sorry I am. He texted, according to Radar Online. But that wasn't his first email after the fight. Radar says at 8:38 a.m. Mel emailed, "How's your tooth?" Oh dear.
That might be
evidence in the domestic assault.
Did he knock it loose or what?
Apparently. Apparently. But then he offered concern for her tooth, which is nice.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. I'm sorry about the. How do you apologize? How do you walk that back, Jim? Did you hear the tapes?
Yeah.
That's a little hard to watch. What did I say? Did I say something offensive?
Only about 20 things in a row.
All right. See if you can keep track of this, Edie. These kids these days. Diana Ross's niece claims that she's Michael Jackson's daughter.
What?
What?
She filed documents stating that she is the author. Well, because we know what a stud he was. She is the offspring of the late King of Pop and should receive an inheritance check.
Uh-huh. An inheritance.
She alleges she was conceived in 1975 when the singer impregnated her mother, Barbara, who she claims is the sister of Diana Ross, when he was just 17. She claims an elaborate, wait, where's my conspiracy music? An elaborate cover-up plot was then hatched by Michael's mother, Catherine, so the world would never know about the singer's.
She didn't want anything embarrassing
to come out about Michael.
So Billie Jean was his lover.
Well, perhaps. Maybe. She claims when she was 9, Catherine decided to fake an abduction of her in the hope of protecting Michael's reputation. According to her, all seven of her supposed abductors were then murdered after taking her to Belgium.
Wow. It's gets better and better.
In Bruges.
The superstar's children have been in the custody of Catherine, as you know, since Michael passed away, but she's seeking to claim legal guardianship of them to give the kids a more normal life.
A more normal life.
Being raised by her, you see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, then. Wow. That's a... Okay. Actor Andy Griffith has a new role pitching President Obama's health care law to seniors in a cable ad. That must be the one ad that you're not doing, for God's sakes.
Please.
The TV star tells seniors that good things are coming under the health care overhaul, including free preventative checkups and lower-cost prescriptions for Medicare recipients. And maybe Aunt Bee's pie. Who knows? I don't know what else might be in there.
Give you things to help your diabetes. It's the right thing to do.
No, that's a different crusty octogenarian. That's Wilford Brimley. Since the Arizona immigration ruling, things are getting ugly out there, aren't they, Edie?
The
immigration debate. The judge in that case has been inundated with hundreds of threats at her court offices, percentage of which are fairly serious.
Mm.
Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, talking about immigration.
The White House doesn't support amnesty, and I think people that support comprehensive immigration reform don't support amnesty either. What we need to do is, again, figure out how we're going to secure our borders, deal with those that are here, but do it in a comprehensive way and do it at a federal level.
What's your take on this whole immigration debate? Because it's gonna keep heating up, I think, as the midterm elections come around, right?
Well, I decided that I needed to reconnoiter the enemy, and so I watched Glenn Beck this weekend.
Oh, dear.
Hmm.
And the thing about him is that he has a kind of a soothing way about him.
Yes.
He's not going to scare the people.
Yes.
But he gets that little glint in his eye that reminded me of a dog that we got from the pound one time, who he looked very friendly, and then all of a sudden he'd get very quiet, but he had that look in his eye, and then he'd bite your nose.
Really?
So it was that kind of, he got that scary look in his eye.
Wow.
And they have like 2,500 groups of the Tea Party Patriots.
Right.
And then there's a group called the Tea Party Express.
Yes.
And they're trying to divorce themselves from the Tea Partiers,
yes,
who are just the nut job.
Yes, and they released that statement, you're not the bosses of us. You can't fire what? Yeah, that whole thing.
Oh, so they're refounding America. And he says that, Glenn Beck says he is a born-again shock jock.
Uh-huh.
And now he wants the fundamental transformation of America.
Yeah. Oh, here. Listen, it gets scary.
They are dismantling this system. They are fundamentally transforming it into something you will not recognize. That the executive branch has just eaten the legislative branch. They are tampering with the census. They are tampering with the elections. That there will be problems with this next election that will only cause more strife in the streets.
Look out, it's Edie's dog!
But I must... Please do not use violence. Whatever you do, do not consider shooting anybody. And no, I have not been studying neurolinguistic programming.
Really? Is that the latest rumors on the intertubes?
I just want to keep you... Please... Don't, whatever you do, use violence.
Oh, I see what you're doing. You punch the axe of what you want someone to do. Okay,
yes.
But I didn't know.
It's hypnotism.
I get it.
And
yeah,
you can be inside because he has insider extreme account members.
Oh, awesome. What do you have to do to, what kind of club is that?
You just go online on
his thing. Yeah, go online and pay.
We have millions.
$1 million.
You can be extreme insiders.
$1 million.
Representative Phil Gingrey, Republican of, where is he from? Georgia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he inadvertently, Jim, he sort of admitted that they're not really such a big tent, the Republican Party. Hmm. He said, I don't think we'll ever be as big a tent organization as the Democratic Party. Their DNA is just a little different from ours, quite frankly. Ours is a little tiny all-white pup tent. It's a very exclusive club.
They're too exclusive, if you ask me.
Exactly. All right, let's get an update from Thad on the Gulf Coast, shall we?
Okay, we have listened to Thad.
Oh. Thad Allen.
It's more dispersed and harder to find. We're going to try and be as aggressive as we can with skimmers offshore to try and deal with this oil offshore. But again, we're finding less and less oil as we move forward.
Gee, I wonder why. Because of the toxic dispersants they put in there? That's
they over-dispersed. So that you can't even find it. The droplets are now of oil are so small.
And once hurricane system is,
and they will just permeate the substructure of all the ocean, and it will just keep killing
things over and over again.
Yeah, I know. Jim, I was thinking of you this weekend. I think it was in the Time magazine. There's some article about, not as bad as they thought, I guess. You know, where's the oil? It's like,
morons.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dispersed into your bloodstream. Yeah.
It causes hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
It's been proven to cause hemorrhaging, which is why they outlawed it in Britain. Corrects it.
Yeah,
heard of that, Alan. It doesn't really matter because it doesn't really matter what I say. I'll just drone on and on and on and put you to sleep and bore you to death.
You can't see it. It's not there.
We're totally screwed.
What? What's happening?
You say totally screwed. Wait a minute. What? I just woke up. What?
Wait a minute. What did I say?
Doesn't matter what I say. I'll just keep droning on and 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 on.
But and that's the other thing is, no matter what the effects are of, you know, all this dispersant, the right wing is never going to say it's because of that. Oh, it's not because of that. You can't even see the oil.
You can't see it.
Those turtles they have a weak genetic link or something.
You can't see X-rays, so they don't exist.
Yeah, they've only been alive for millions and millions of years, those...
The sea turtles.
Sea turtles.
Yeah, I know.
And they burned them alive.
Oof, I know. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we've got the remaining segment of Mondays with McClurg as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's almost over?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour.
I still have that record somewhere.
Thank you.
Me at my mom's house.
1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number toll free from anywhere to join us. For the wildly popular Mondays with McClurg, Edie McClurg with us live in studio here in Hollywood.
Yay!
Oh, speaking of Hollywood, I forgot to get to this. I had one more Mel Gibson story. I don't know if you'd heard about this.
No?
Just when you thought it couldn't get weirder. Here's the fun facts. Mel, apparently they had a little ceremony. Have you ever heard of this? He and his lovely ex, they buried the placenta of their child in the Rose Garden. Have you ever heard of this? Yeah, I don't.
And the roses died?
They planted a fir tree in honor of their daughter and also threw the placenta in there. Apparently, it's a tradition in some parts of Australia to bury the placenta. TMZ claims that during the ceremony, the gardener said something which made Octosana smile. That was Mel's cue to erupt into a storm of jealous lunacy. He accused her of wanting to bone the gardener. So that was, you know how when your placenta ceremony goes wrong.
Yes.
When it's going really well and then suddenly... All right. Wow.
And they built a cathedral on their land. The first one.
Yes, life. His own church, because his regular churches aren't churchy enough.
I guess
it's the extra crispy bucket of Catholic kind of Catholic.
Well, do you have your own priest then?
Yes. Didn't somebody write us who was Mel Gibson's priest? His private Catholic crazy priest? Yes, somebody's relative. that listens to the show. Is there his?
I bet they do the last the mass in Latin still.
Yes, they do.
Yes, as I understood it.
Paris Hilton, did you hear the story? He was trying to take the heat off Mel. She's been accused of giving a Nazi salute while partying. She was at a boat party in Saint-Tropez. Mm-hmm. You do that a lot, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dive nude into the sea. Sure.
She appeared to make the infamous gesture and put a finger on her top lip in an apparent joke reference. Get it to, the reference to Hitler. She was wearing a red military hat when she made the salute. An onlooker said she stretched out her arm and raised her finger to her top lip, like many people have done under the years to mock Hitler. Maybe she meant something else.
She's dating Jesse James now.
That makes sense.
It's what's always more entertaining is the PR person's explanation.
Oh, please.
She said, the representative said she was dancing and having fun with her arm up in the air, and she always dances like that, and she was scratching her face when the photo was taken.
And then she invaded Poland.
Just because she took the joke a little too far.
Oh, my.
Boy. Elton John apparently really likes homophobes. Not only did he sing at Rush Limbaugh's wedding, but he calls Eminem every week, I guess.
What does he call him?
Not bad, Jimmy, to give him support to get off, stay off drugs or whatever, I guess. I don't know. That's fine.
Stay off drugs and get on him? Is that what they're
something like that. Oh, Jim Louise Ward. You know, Edie, we're in kind of a boatload of trouble in the country these days, if you haven't been paying attention. The economy, the housing crisis, we got the oil spill. Here's what Republicans are doing for you. All 7 Republican members of the Senate Judiciary have written to seek a hearing explaining allegations of politicization at the Justice Department civil rights. It's that Black Panther thing.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
That's all you've got. That's...
A Republican appointee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights has described the case as the focus of fantasies of Republican stalwarts who are convinced it is a vehicle to bring President Obama down. Which is kind of all they're really hoping for at this point, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. The whole Megillah is just, it's erupting. It's getting scabies. It's all...
Scabies. The body politic has scabies. Edie McClurg, 2010, Stephanie Miller.
There's another T-shirt.
We do. We have scabies, politically speaking.
Yes, we do.
We were just talking about the oil spill.
Makes me itchy just thinking about it, doesn't it?
It's weird talking about the oil spill. It's like, we're not going to get, it looks like, an energy bill done. And you think, if not now, we're never going to get this, we're never going to get it done. I mean, it gets depressing some days, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I'm about to get estimates for more panels, solar panels put on the roof because I'm not at zero yet. And I'm going to get the Nissan Leaf.
You are green, Edie McClure.
I'm very green. I'm going to get the Nissan Leaf.
It's not easy
being here. I will be using the sun to run my car.
Wow.
That is, I'm just trying to, I would like to be in negative numbers. I'd like to have the electric company paying me.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
There you go.
Yes. And then you can call and harass them when they're late.
Yes.
You're a day late.
All right. By the by, we were talking about this, the Arizona law and all the debate over immigration. Steve King, what a tool. This is the thing. They turn on these judges, Edie, and suddenly she's some crazy judicial activist. Susan Bolton. She's the one that blocked, key elements of the Arizona harsh new immigration law. So Representative Steve King, Republican of Iowa, ripped into the ruling. He alleged Judge Bolton prioritized protecting the Obama administration's political standing because she was appointed by the Secretary of State's husband, Bill Clinton. King has forgotten that Senator John Kyle, Republican of Arizona, was a defender, recommended Bolton for her judgeship in 2000 at her confirmation hearing. Kyle praised her expertise and fairness in dealing with Arizona's concerns. Bolton has been described by her peers as an impeccable and fearless judge whose rulings are well-reasoned and unambiguous. He was a big fan back then, but apparently now.
Flip-flop.
Thank you.
Crisscross.
Exactly.
Flip-flop.
Exactly. What the heck has happened to Lindsey Graham, by the way? Politico reports Lindsey Graham...
I hear he just got out of prison. Oh, that's the other one.
No.
Oh.
No, that's the Lohan. He, well, you know, you remember when people thought he was going to sponsor comprehensive immigration reform? This is just how far right I think the Republican Party is pushing people. So he is considering radically changing the 14th Amendment. Graham may introduce a constitutional amendment that would overturn the portion of the Constitution, basically would end the practice of granting citizenship to children of undocumented immigrants.
Well, there goes Michelle Malkin.
Exactly. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks for coming.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Bye-bye, Anchor Baby.
Loser.
And Lindsey Graham definitely will not be playing, you know, Linda Lovelace in the movie.
No, yeah. No, that's also been rumored. Sure Thank that. You, Jim, for that. That's see, because Lindsay Lohan's not playing the... Okay, I got it. He was next, I guess. Yes, a key Republican has also now called Elena Kagan a dangerous nominee.
Ooh, dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the elfin... Senator of Alabama warned senators against voting, saying, be careful about it because I'm afraid we have a dangerous progressive political type nominee.
So is he as short that he can look her right in the eye and say that?
I think so.
I'm going to look her right in the knees and say, you are a radical.
He's an angry little elf, that Sessions, isn't he? All right. I think that's
what... And then she'd need me right in the teeth.
Edie McClurg, where can we find out all things Edie McClurg-ish?
Oh.
She doesn't...
You always ask me a question. I'm trying to do the internet.
We have a link to her blog up on StephanieMiller.com.
We have a link to Edie McClurg's blog,
but I'm not blogging enough, I'm told.
Well, get with it, for God's sakes. That's up on Stephanie Miller.
I don't have a blog. I want people scolding me from around the world.
That's up on StephanieMiller.com. Don't forget Lawrence Korb tomorrow on Afghanistan and also Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe. We will see you then. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and, of course, Edie McClurg.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.